There's something that I really love to do. I mean, there's a lot of things I really love to do, but this is the key to it, and that is bird watching. All right, how many of you do birding? So they don't necessarily just call it bird watching. Now it's called birding. How many of you do birding? Raise your hand. Okay. I love bird watching. So when we moved out to where we live now, like 14 years ago, our grandkids, Bailey, Kylie, Aubrey, and Xander, were younger, quite a bit younger, a lot younger, little. And I bought this book right here, Smithsonian Field Guide to Birds of North America. And we decided that we would watch birds. So I bought several pairs of these binoculars here. And the kids and I would look for birds. And when we would find a bird, what we would do is we would go to that page in here and we would find the right picture that matched up, hopefully, and we would date it when we found the bird. Well, we weren't always so accurate with our diagnosis of what bird that was, but we loved it anyway. We just thought it was great. Then when Matt's kids started having kids, Matt and Cindy, I showed them, and I remember once Jordan insisted he saw that bird, but it, you know, only dwells in Mexico, but it is North America. I said, I don't care. Put the date on the bird. He could have seen it. Who knows? And so we would just, you know, do that. Well, in the past couple of months, I've really felt this desire in me to up my birding. And I thought, I'm going to get more serious about bird watching. And to be honest, when I felt that, I felt like God was saying that he is going to show me some deeper things about himself and his spirit while I'm watching the birds. Now, you that do birding, how many of you can see God in that when you're doing it? It's true, isn't it? I mean, God created all things. He created nature, and we see him in those things. And we see parts of his spirit or parts of his attributes in those things. And so what I did was I went around and collected, well, first of all, I Googled bird, all of it. And then I was like, oh, you should set up a bird station in your yard. How many of you have a bird station in your yard? Wow, I am so impressed. Okay, well, this was new to me. I mean, I just had bird feeders hanging in the trees or wherever I hung them up, you know? And so I thought, oh, I think I could just make my own bird station. So I went around, collected all my shepherd hooks in the yard, which there were quite a few, and I put them in the yard. And, you know, Alice, I don't remember if I sent a picture of my bird station in there or if I just sent the bird. She's going to put picture. Oh, there it is. And I wired some of them together. And then do you see that nice little flat thing there, that little stand? Isn't that cool? Yep. And so Levi from Kids Church, him and his dad made that. And that's from them. But I just, you know, gathered everything in one spot because I had it kind of hanging around different places. And I thought, I'm going to just take this to another level. And so I, every chance I could get, would sit out, and still do, and sit out on the swing and just sit there and watch for the birds. Well, there's many scriptures in the Bible that talk about birds, and there's several that talk about sparrows, And I love this one in Matthew 10:29 that tells us that there's not even one sparrow that falls to the ground, but God doesn't know about it. And then he goes on to say, how much more of value to God are you than a sparrow? You see, everything that happens in your life, he knows about it. He knows. He knew it was going to happen before we ever had a clue. In the next few moments, I want to just share a few things. Three, exactly. I mean, I really have like tons and tons, but I figured I better leave it to three because we don't have that much time. And you don't want to be here till next week, right? And so I'm... of things that I feel God showing me by his Spirit. Things that maybe I'm learning, but maybe I'm relearning them, or I'm learning them to a deeper level. And first of all, I want to ask you, is there a stereotype for birders? Come on! Is there a stereotype for people who watch birds? Yes. I mean, what do you think in your mind? They have a hat on, binoculars around their neck. They're in khaki or green, army green kind of colors, right? They have a book and a pencil. They probably have boots, but they have white knee-high socks up to here in them. Shorts. Well, I mean, you know, we can kind of think they're quirky people, but then I became one, so then I was like, well, I don't do that. I don't think. And then I just kind of did a little bit of research, and do you know that there is a rising up of people who are starting to do more birding? And surprisingly enough, most of the new people doing the birding are in the ages from 16 to 25. I know. That's. I was like, this can't be right, but I Googled it. It's got to be right. Then, do you know that there's actually rules for birding? And people are serious about those rules. Well, not me, really, but... if they're really into it, they're serious. So the first thing that you will see is that birding requires you to be still and quiet. Right? We had some people over last... okay, I'll tell you another thing that requires you to be still and quiet is if you want to see deer in your yard. And we had some people over and friends, and some deer came in the yard. We were still quiet waiting, and all of a sudden it was like, there they are, there they are. There they were. If you want to see the birds, you have to be still and quiet. And this is really, you know, our world is so fast-paced. Everything rushing here, rushing there. You know, where do I have to take the kids? What do I have to do now? What do I have to, you know, what obligation can I get out of because I just don't have enough time to do all this? And the demands become so intense on our time. And I wrote down these three questions. What does it actually mean to be still? What does it actually mean to be quiet? And is this something I can really do? And can I both be still and quiet at the same time? I believe it's a learned art to be still and quiet. And, of course, you know we're going to that scripture in just a minute. And I believe that birding is really a learned art. And I'll tell you that as soon as I sit down to just quietly have a few minutes to watch the birds, my leg itches, my head itches, I have a sneeze, I forgot to mute my phone, texts come in, right? As soon as we want to be quiet and still, all of a sudden we're so aware of how we aren't quiet and still. And then, do we dare even talk about the word patience? Oh my goodness. You have to have patience if you're going to do birding. Because they don't just come out because you're sitting there. I can tell you that. And you might have to wait a little while. But do you know what you're waiting for? They are actually watching you from the trees. They're watching to see if it's safe for them to come out and display their beauty to you. Because that's what they're doing. They're watching to see if when they come out, if they're going to be safe. And as you sit there quietly waiting, all of a sudden one bird will come by. Then another one will come, and they might land. And then you'll begin to see them. These are from my yard. We'll do pictures 2 through 7. You see the little, golden finch. Do you see that blue bird there? That's an indigo bunting. An oriole. A woodpecker. Black-capped chickadee. A grosbeak. Blue jay. Another grosbeak. Aren't they beautiful? You quietly sit there and they begin to display themselves before you. In the scriptures, God talks about being still. In Psalm 46, the first part of verse 10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." And do you know that if you go back to verse 1 in that chapter, that it begins by telling us that God is our refuge and our strength. He's a very present help in trouble. And it says that when the waters are roaring and the mountains are shaking, that there is a river that flows from God in a holy place that's the very tabernacle of the Most High. And God is in this and God will help. And when the days seem to be like almost unbearable, and we wonder how we're going to get through some things, he says, "Be still and know." The word "still" in the Hebrew actually means to slacken or to relax, to let everything drop and be idle. We have a hard time doing that, don't we? We have a hard time just like, okay, I'm just going to let it all roll off of me. I believe that in all the things we talk about today, that this is probably the most important and challenging for us. And I want to tie this into with Father's Day as being a parent. You know, as a parent, well, kids will be kids and they're going to test you. And there will be days that you just don't even know how to respond to your kids. And I was thinking, I wonder if God ever feels that way about us. But we won't go there, huh? And you wonder, like, with all the advice in the world, you know, do I discipline or do I just ignore what they're doing? Do I reward their good behavior and ignore the bad behavior? What do I do? And there's so many books you can read on parenting, and it would take us forever to even read those. And I'm telling you, every relative, friend, even anyone in the store that sees your kid acting up, all have advice for you, right? And they're going to tell you about it. God definitely has laid out principles in his word for being a good parent. And they're his ways, his advice, his tried and true principles. Because he is God. And we don't really have time or in this message to get into those. But the thing I want to focus on is that when you don't know what to do, calls you to come and be still before him and know that he is God. And when it seems like everything is going wrong, and when it seems like all is going well, he still calls us to take the time and be still and know that he is God. And he says, not only to be still, but to know. And to know that he is God. This knowing, when you look it up, it literally means a perceiving. It's a perceiving by observing and recognizing. And it includes instructions that you receive. And then it literally means to learn to know. And when we learn to know that he is God in every situation, in every place, in everything you're going through, the result of it is we grow in wisdom and we're covered by his love. Yes. I fully believe that God will use these very difficult times and sometimes even hopeless situations or the mountains and the valleys that we go through. And when the mountains seem like they're shaking and everything around is shaking, he uses these to show us himself and his love and his peace. He is our Abba Father. Sometimes as you sit still, it can seem like forever until he comes. Right? It can seem like just forever. And as I was sitting and watching with the birds and thinking, when God is going to come, does he just wait to see if we will actually take the time to be still and know him? Or do we want him to kind of fit in his showing us his attributes and his coming to us between, you know, okay, I'm going to run the kids here, and then I have to be at work, and then I have to be here. So you got like 2 minutes, God. Sitting still and quiet. It means that we actually don't talk. And I know it's really hard for some of us. For others, like Mark, very easy. But some of us, it's hard to sit and not talk. Because even when we're sitting still before him, we want to say, you know, we just want to, you know, I love you, Lord, I love you. What if we just sit still and don't talk? And we just pause. The scripture talks a lot about meditating. We meditate on him in his ways. I want us to practice this. And I'm going to have a video played. It's only about 30 seconds long. But I want us to practice this morning sitting still and being quiet. Now, guarantee you're going to feel like you have to itch or cough or whatever, because that's how it works, right? Yesterday, I was sitting out in the afternoon, and I was going over my notes, and there come two deer right by me. So I just quick pulled my phone up and pushed video. So here we are. We're going to just be still and absolutely quiet while this plays. Just sitting still and quiet in his presence, knowing him. You see, he's always there, and even when you don't see the birds, they're still there. They're in the trees. God is always there. He's just waiting for us to stop and pause and be there with him. We don't get to choose what kind of birds come out at what time. I mean, if I could choose, I don't know, I think I'd like, you know, the cowbirds. Anyone ever seen a cowbird with a brown head and a black body? Like, I could do away with those. Is that bad? I want to see the beautiful, the indigo bunting. I could just sit and look at that all day, every day. We don't get to choose. We can put out certain foods or certain things, you know, to attract them. But they come when they decide. And it's the same way with the attributes of God. We don't get to choose necessarily which attribute he decides he's going to show us. You see, he knows best, and he comes and he shows us his attributes that he feels we need at that moment. It could be that you need to see his goodness, or you need to see his mercy, or his love, or you need his wisdom. And the cool thing about just sitting and being quiet and waiting and learning to know him is that we then trust him, and we just sit there and wait for him to show us. We don't kind of put in our order of what we want him to show us. He knows even better than we do what we need. Psalm 37:7 says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." Psalm 135, "I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I do hope." Psalm 27:14, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." And the beautiful verse that we probably all know so well in Isaiah 40:31, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." You see, getting to know God, be still and know that I am God. Getting to know him is really a learning process. And when we understand that, I believe that it really will alleviate a lot of the striving to know him. Trying to make it happen instead of just letting it happen. So many times we come to him and we're just like, "Lord, where are you? Where are you?" Have you ever prayed that? I have. Like, where are you, God? 2 Chronicles 20 and 17 says, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." We always want to do something, fix it, try to you know, make it better. But he says, stand still and see him bring salvation to that place. All right, so we're going to go into Birding Has Seasons, but before we do, I want you to look. There's a few spots in the sanctuary. There's 9 to be exact. And I slipped a card like this. These are pictures of my birds in my backyard. I slipped a card in the little pocket next to the offering envelope. So look in there, and if you find a card, lift a card up in the air. Okay, I see 2 of them. 3, 4, 5. There's got to be more. I don't know, this section. Someone go look in those pockets there. Okay, your card will coordinate with one of these items up here. Now, because it's Father's Day, I know women, you're not going to like this, but I want fathers to get these gifts. So this is just to help you out with your birding experience. There's like bird feeders, there's an oriole feeder, there's bags of bird seed, there's 2 more bird feeders here, and a finch feeder. So if you have a card and you're not a father, Can you look and find a father close to you to give it to? And then at the end of the service, whoever has those cards, you come up and just take these, okay? They're yours. They're a gift. And I am sorry, women. I mean, it is Father's Day, right? It's not my fault that my husband didn't have prizes on Mother's Day. Shame. Snap, huh? Birding has seasons. I'm going to go quickly over these. Okay. So, one day I was out on my patio, sitting in my swing, and I didn't see any birds. I had been at the hospital every day with my brother, and all I wanted to do was just come and sit and just relax on our patio and be still, and I was still and quiet and watching, and no birds showed up. I was waiting for my birds to show up. And I'll tell you, when you get into birding and they come to your feeders, they are your birds. They become your birds. When you experience them, they are so beautiful, they become yours. We're going to look at just a few more pictures of my birds. I think there we go, the cardinal. There should be, let's see. Some of these might be the same ones we just saw, but okay, we'll, all right. One day Mark said to me, I'm really happy you like birding. Just don't expect me to do it. Didn't you? Anyways, we were eating lunch on the deck together. And he goes, oh, there's a cardinal. There's a blue jay. I go, it's almost like you're birding with me. I'm teasing him. Okay, we can. When you experience certain aspects of God's beauty and the art of knowing him, it's because you're sitting still and waiting for him. It becomes yours. Seriously, when he comes in those quiet places and he shows you his mercy becomes so real to you. It's yours. It's deep in your spirit. No one can take it away. It's deep in there. It becomes yours. I was thinking about this and in the light of parenting. And I was thinking about the different times that I have felt him. When you might feel like maybe one of your children isn't doing exactly what you think they should, or maybe they're going a different way than you think. But I'm telling you, when you sit before the Lord and he helps you, he shows you something in his presence about that child, it becomes yours. When one of your children maybe is making an ungodly decision about their lifestyle or something like that. When you sit there, I've sat before the Lord and he's told me, just sit in his presence and he will take care of that. All you need to do is love them. And when you do, that thing becomes so real to you. It's deep in your spirit. And it doesn't matter all the advice everybody else has about that situation. You have a word from God and you know what to do. Right? He's spoken directly to you about that. No one can take away my experiences as I'm birding. No one can take away the things my birds It's like they're mine. And the same way in his presence, when you're still in his presence and he shows you measures of his love and measures of his mercy and measures of his joy, no one can take that away from you. It is yours. And then one step further, it doesn't matter what happens because you already know I have that within my spirit. Because I am knowing him in that measure and in that dimension. His love is mine. His joy is mine. His mercy is mine. The chickadees are mine. The little golden finch are mine. The blue jay is mine. As I sit there, and just as much as I feel ownership over those things, as I sit in his presence and he reveals himself to me, that thing is mine. Praise God. So, I actually was feeling disappointed that day I was sitting out there last week. I mean, I didn't see a bird. And I was like, well, whatever. So I went back in the house, and as I'm going, if you've been in our house, you see the wicker furniture sitting area in, off the kitchen there, and I'm going, and my eye catches a book, and it was this book right here. Okay, so I bought it last year. I've never read it. I was like, I wonder what that is about. Birds have seasons. So I went and opened it up, and I know that, like, for a lot of you, you just read cover to cover. I don't do that. I looked for the chapter I wanted to read. I went to chapter 2 that was on summer birding. And the title of the chapter said, Summer is for Families. I was like, oh my word. So I began to read. Here's what it said. It says, just seems like yesterday that you were delighting in the huge flock of goldfinches swarming your feeders and singing from the trees. You were accustomed to enjoying a half dozen cardinals at one time, as well as a small flock of noisy jays and sparrows that were a constant presence on your ground. Below your feeder, beneath your hedge, the lawn was alive with robins and birds. And then in just a short time, like almost overnight, it all changes. Your feeders are almost empty. Where did your birds go? And nearly all the sparrows seem to have gone with the juncos and the different birds. Instead of a bunch of red cardinals, you might have one or two. And jays, you might maybe not even rarely see them. Is it you? Has your seed gone bad? Where'd everybody go? I'm like, that is exactly what I'm thinking. And then it said in the book, try not to take it personally. I was seriously like, try the wrong food out. I've like invested in this stuff. What in the world's going on? And I'm like, I even went and got special, well, off of their recommendation, fruit and nut stuff, you know, seeds. And I have all these different seeds. And where are they? Like, it's a smorgasbord out there. And they're gone. So it says, try not to take it personally. It's just part of the natural cycle. In summer, birds switch their focus. Instead of spending their time hanging out, they're getting down to some serious parenting. I was like, oh my word. There are seasons in our life that we walk through. There are seasons even that we walk through with parenting. And sometimes we can be taken by surprise by those seasons, even if we know they're coming. I wrote in here that sometimes, especially as our kids get older, we might know the season is changing, but we might not be prepared for what it brings. And when we're not fully prepared for this change, we can begin to question our parenting abilities and efforts. Do I have the right food out? I am now a parent to these birds. Like, what am I feeding them? And I was reading this book. I mean, I went back on a thing. I'm reading it. I'm like, oh, my word. This is exactly how I feel. And then on Friday, as I was writing more of the message, I was sitting out there, and the birds were showing up that day. It was earlier in the morning, and I thought, I'm going to just take a little break from studying. I'm going to run over to Walmart. I actually wanted to go to Menards to buy these things, but I felt I was supposed to go to Walmart. Remember, it's my ministry center. And so I go to Walmart, and I go straight to the bird section. And as I'm in the aisle of the bird feeders and all this stuff, and I have a cart, there's a lady standing there. And she looks at me, and she goes, maybe you can help me. I used to have a lot of birds in my yard in the past, and now they're all gone the last week or two. I don't know. Do you think I'm putting out the wrong food? I was just like, unbelievable. I mean, actually at home, I was like, is this the right message? I really want to know. I don't want to just bring any old thing. And is this just something that I'm feeling so, you know? And I stood and talked to her about birds and how I'd read about the seasons, the change and everything. And anyway, then it came around to God. It should, or hopefully it does. And I was able to, you know, talk with her a little. And she said that, I told her I was going to speak on this morning. She said that she wants to go on our website and pull up the message. But anyway, it was like a sign from God for me that she was there. It might seem curious or coincidental to some people, like that I would just be at Walmart at that exact time, in the bird aisle at that exact time, that lady was just there at that exact time. But not to me, it was a confirmation. And I felt like God was saying to us this morning that many of his kids wonder where he is. Many times we wonder, where is God? Are we doing the right thing to hear from him? Am I putting out the right food? Am I saying the right prayer? Am I doing the right thing? And all he wants us to do is come and wait before him and be still, and he'll reveal himself to us. The feeders may seem empty. Where is of birds? Or we may say, God, where are you? I don't see you. Interesting enough, God is always there. The birds are still there. They're in the trees sitting on their nests and feeding their little ones, parenting. God is always there. The truth is that all of us feel this way at some time or another. We wonder, am I doing the right thing spiritually? Don't we? We wonder, am I reading enough? Am I praying enough? Am I, you know, saying the right prayers? God's always there. He's always speaking to us. It takes practice to learn the sound of his spirit and his voice. But when we're quiet before him, we begin to hear him speak. In our spirit, it won't be like an audible voice, like talking. It'll be in our spirit that we hear him, and we just feel impressed by something, and we know he's showing us. The third and last aspect of birding I want to touch on, and this is just a short little section, and that is on the calls and the songs of the birds. You see, even when you can't see them, they're there. If you're quiet, you can hear them in the trees singing and making their melodies. And I want us to be really quiet right now. We're going to watch video one. Whoops, not that one. Oh, you showed it ahead of time. There we go. Okay, be really quiet and just listen. You can't see anything. See if you can. We need volume. like a lot of volume. Hear the songs of the birds? If you look closely in the trees, you might not even see them, but sometimes you can see them, and they're there, and if you keep looking, they'll eventually show themselves to you, and we'll play the last video, the one that we had up there. Will you quiet one more time? We'll need the volume real loud. You see the goldfinches singing to each other, talking to each other? They're way up in the tree. They're so tiny. Sometimes, you know, we don't always see them, but there really is an art to recognizing their calls and their songs. And they have beautiful songs. Their songs have specific messages. And they might be like a warning, they might be an invitation, they might be like a courtship. There's different messages that they sing. And learning their songs takes practice, you know, learning to recognize it. The spirit speaks to us in different ways. You see, sometimes we can hear him, we don't always see him. But he comes and he just... He speaks to us in different ways. It might be a confirmation about something, like in the Walmart store with that lady. It might be that you're just waiting still before him, and all of a sudden, you just feel this song coming to you of his beauty and his love. It could be different things. He speaks to us in many ways. And for each person, it might sound a little differently because God knows you personally and he speaks to you in the way you can receive it. I'm going to ask the worship team to come quickly. And they're going to come and softly play. I think we should do that song, As the Deer, again. I believe that God really wants to show us this morning that he's here for us. That no matter what you're going through, he is here for you. He is here to comfort you. He's here to help you. He's here to give you wisdom. He's here to minister to you. And it starts with that we have a desire to have more of him in our life. You see, I feel like I really can't even live this life if it wasn't for God, right? We can't do this thing without him. And I think about people who go through things, hard things, or they are facing different situations with their kids, with their work, with family, with different situations. How do they do it without God? And just like the birding station is a place, you know, for the birds to come, the altar area here this morning is a place to come and meet with him. And You might not be used to coming up to an altar, but I believe that this is just a holy place. This morning is the place of his presence, and he wants to show you himself. And so I'm going to ask if you'll stand up, and we're going to sing this song, As the Deer. And if you want to come and just meet with him, I'm going to pray for us. And if you might want to come and just say, Lord, I want to recommit that I will make a time to be quiet and still before you. I want to recommit that I want to hear your voice ministering and telling me and speaking to me and reviving me. This song says, even as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you. More of you, Lord. More of you. Let's begin to sing this song. And if you want to come, just feel free to come. Oh.
And as the deer panteth for the water.
Jesus, we can't do this life without you, and we need you more. Father, I pray this morning that for each person that's come up to your altar, Lord, and Father, I pray they will see you in a special and real way today, that deep within their heart they will see you in new levels that they haven't seen before. They will know your love, your passion, your care, your mercy, your grace, your wisdom. Lord, I pray for every parent in this place that maybe is having struggles with how do I parent in this situation as the seasons change and the kids get older, the seasons are changing for them. Lord, we thank you that you have wisdom for us. And I ask that you would show each of the parents your wisdom this morning, especially the fathers. That even as you are our Heavenly Father and you love us so much, and you watch over us, the fathers of the house watch over their kids. And I pray that you would give the Father's wisdom this morning. Lord, we thank you for the very nature that you created, for the birds, the beauty, flowers, woods and mountains and streams and lakes that you created that we can enjoy and we can see you in it, all of it. We love you so much, Jesus. We say today that we will be still and we will know that you truly are God. Thank you, Jesus. As a deer, and as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. Alone are my strength. I would just have this picture because my brother was a strong believer of him just in heaven with Jesus, worshiping him face to face. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you.
I'm going to close in prayer in just a moment, and prayer teams, you can kind of make your way to the front. If any of you would like prayer before you go, there'll be some teams up here. I know, and yeah, don't forget to pick up your gifts. I know if Becky had more time, she could add lots of points to it. I'm going to add one quick one, and that is the opposition to birding. They're called squirrels. I mean, Becky could have a whole sermon on everything she tried to try to keep the squirrels from eating all her birdseed. And she tried, like, she read that certain peppers would... We found out our squirrels liked hot peppers, you know? So I was going to help her. You turned the mic back to me. So I was going to help her. So I looked up squirrel-proof bird feeders. We found one we really liked, but we didn't buy it because it was like $150. But it was so entertaining. It had this little wire thing, and when the squirrels landed on it, it would spin, and the squirrels would go flying. It was so entertaining. We just watched the commercial and enjoyed it. So, you know, anyway. Well, BB guns are another way to squirrel-proof your bird feeders. Let me pray. But the point is there's always opposition to anything you go after with God that you've got to persevere through and overcome. Lord, we thank you for the message today. We thank you, God. There's so many lessons in your creation. And Lord, I pray that as we leave today, we will be encouraged to wait on you, Lord, to enjoy nature, but also, God, to pursue hearing your voice And Lord, just hearing the things you have to say to us. And I just bless each family here today. And I know many families will be gathering together for a meal today. Just, Lord, just bless the family gatherings today. We thank you for it. And we just speak a blessing in every home. And bless those who are here to receive prayer. Thank you for the prayer teams. And as they minister, we thank you, God, for your presence, touching our lives and encouraging us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.